Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. Amen. No rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you brought your A game. Amen. No rain.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD, by God Oliva. How you doing, JD?
Oh, I've been better. Tough week, up and down. Looking very forward to wrestling season being over this year.
Yeah. We got to a nor'easter here in Charlotte, where we got up to 11 inches of snow. And I know the people in Chicago do not feel bad for us, but like, we were not expecting 11 inches. It was wild.
To be fair, in Illinois, we don't get that much snow, so much as we just get cold. Like, yeah. you got 11 inches of snow. We had negative 30 degree wind chills last week.
Wow.
So like, we get Arctic like winds and stuff like that. Like snow, like it snowed here, but not terribly. So we'll get some snow. Like, usually, honestly, it snows probably 4 or 5 times a winter on a normal winter, 4 or 5 times, like a real good snow.
Right.
Like, not just the dustings and stuff you get, but we'll get like a good snow handful of times a year. That's not the issue. With us, the issue is how fucking cold it gets outside. Yeah. I know you're not supposed to swear this early into a YouTube show, but yeah. Dude,
try like two minutes in, I think. You have to wait. You were close. Yeah,
so. I was close. Like, we have e-learning days where you just have to be online for the kids. And we've had two of them already this year. So like, yeah, man, it's just the cold more so than the snow.
Yeah. So last weekend we had an ice storm. And so where everything was just covered in ice. And so they closed school down, I think, for like the first 2 or 3 days of the week. And then this coming up week, they already announced that it's closed because of the snow. So like 2 weeks in a row, we're shutting down school here. It's been pretty wild. They said that 11 inches was the fourth highest on record for Charlotte. And the highest being like 14 inches back in like 1902.
It's crazy how like, you know, we're having this insane cold by me. You're having ridiculous amounts of snow by you in the South. It's almost like we're having extreme weather temperatures for reasons. Crazy. Like, the climate might be changing.
We had global warming. Now we're having global freezing. Maybe there's a cataclysm coming.
Let's think about global warming. When they talk about the planet getting warmer, it's not that it's just going to be hotter. You're just going to get more extreme weather shifts where your summers are hot and your winters are really fucking cold. So, I mean, like, that's, it's a misnomer that people are like, what? It was getting hotter.
I remember they were taking the temperature of the ocean, and the ocean was getting naturally colder, right? And they're like, see, the global warming is fake. And like, no, idiot, it's actually melting off the ice, and then the ice is going into the ocean, thus making it colder.
It's like when you have a Pepsi and you put ice in it, the drink is going to get colder. Like, right. It's just, the lack of understanding that some people have is astounding.
Yeah, no, it's pretty funny. Maybe the younger Dryas is happening. The cataclysm is happening. You know, maybe it's all coming. And honestly, we deserve it at this point.
Hey, I think. On the upside, we're both pretty sure we know who the Zodiac Killer is.
Dude, Marvin Margolis is 100%. I think I'm there because like
there.
I was like a Lee Allen guy for a long time, you know, because the movie The Zodiac, and then Netflix has a really good and a really good compelling documentary about it, where they actually interview like people that knew him, some kids that he like raised and abused, and stated that they were with him like kind of up and down the state while he was going on killing sprees. So like, it's a compelling case, but I think this guy's got him beat for sure.
I think that there's no reason to have suspected Marvin Margulis until this podcast started. We're, of course, talking about Killer in the Code. We did a Mike and JD Show Patreon episode a couple weeks ago talking about it.
Yeah.
The further you, our good buddy John Muse turned us on to that, the further you dig and the more it comes, the more you learn, and it sure is hard to fight it.
Yeah.
Like, it sure is hard to fight it off.
I was trying to like poke holes in it, and I'm at the point now where like not everything lines up, but it's pretty damn compelling. So yeah, check out Killer in the Code. JD and I will be back with a witching hour coming up soon where we're going to talk the John Wayne Gacy story, but I think we'll probably intro it with Zodiac. We'll start with Zodiac and then like give an update on that and then go right into Gacy, as I think that's the move for this week.
I think that's the move. A lot of tangential connections in the Oliva family, the extended Oliva family, into the John Wayne Gacy world. So I never met the man. He was put in prison long before I was born. But I know people who did. So, you know, might be catharsis to talk. Might be a nice little catharsis to talk about it. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So head to patreon.com/TheMikeandJDShow. And I've been on the Patreon a lot lately.
Yes, you have.
Doing a lot of TNA stuff. And then last week, JD and I had an overtime where we talked the top 10 most compelling pro wrestling conspiracies. So that was pretty fun.
That was a fun episode.
Yeah. And I didn't release that for the YouTube. So that's exclusive. And then JD, I've been reviewing 2016 Impact on Pop.
I kind of like 2016 Impact on Pop, to be honest.
You should watch an episode with me and just like review it 1 week.
I will.
It's pretty fun. So last week, the show that I reviewed was the debut of Decay. And
I remember that
Rosemary comes out and she's like this crazy chick, and Crazy Steve comes out because they're interrupting the Wolves, Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards, which is awesome tag team, obviously. And they come out to Marilyn Manson music to beat up the Wolves. I was like, dude, this rules. It was so cool. I loved it.
So that was back when Billy was running Impact. So we were actually getting like real music at the time. Remember the Dollhouse was coming out to, I think, Doll Parts from Hole.
Doll Parts. Yeah. Courtney Love. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Billy's.
So this era of Impact was Rebel was the leader of the Dollhouse, but she didn't have a lot of charisma. So they moved in Awesome Kong, and Awesome Kong takes over as leader of the Dollhouse. But Awesome Kong at this point in 2016 is washed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Was the feud Dollhouse Beautiful People, as I recall? Is that correct?
It was Dollhouse Beautiful People and Gail Kim. So they were feuding. Yeah. They were putting on like Impact, you know, they were on a new network. It was right at the, because I'm like starting right from episode one on Impact on Pop, right? So I'm in four episodes in, and every single week had a big main event, like the world title was always on the line or something, or there was always something. So, and 10 years ago this week, they did Feast or Fired. And sure enough, Impact this week also did Feast or Fired. Sure, 10 years ago later, 10 years later.
Refresh my memory. Who was Feast or Fired at this time 10 years ago?
This time 10 years ago. So the world championship case went to Drew Galloway. The tag team went to Beer Money. So it was, I think James Storm got that case. It wasn't X Division. The King of the Mountain was Eli Drake. This was like the beginning of where Eli Drake starts getting over and they start pushing him. So he breaks away from the tag team with Jesse Goddard's. And then Credo got the fired briefcase because I think they're tired of flying his ass in from Scotland. So
the amount of money they spent to find Grado, fat ass little Grado. I haven't heard the name Grado in years.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's fun television, but it's also kind of sad to go back and watch because like they had everything in the palm of their hand. Like they're on Spike. They had, you know, all these big stars, and then like one by one, they just start losing them, and the crowds are small. The crowds are bigger today by far than they were in 2016.
Oh yeah. But look at the talent roster they had. Like I believe this is EC3 is champ, right?
So episode two or three, he loses the title back to Matt Hardy.
Okay.
And Matt Hardy does the Big Money Matt gimmick.
This is Big Money Matt.
Yeah.
At the time.
And then EC3 turns babyface.
Yes. This is pre, so Broken Matt comes after he loses the title, like later in the year.
So the funny thing is, JD, the interesting thing, and I didn't, because I wasn't watching it in this era. I didn't watch until Matt gets broken, and then I started paying attention.
I was watching in this era.
Yeah. he starts laying the groundwork for the broken character immediately on week one. Like EC3's like, I'm gonna break you, and then Matt's like, you will never break me. He starts talking about being broken, like in the beginning, and then he ends up. It's so fascinating what they do. Now, I'm saying this like it's this big time deal, but when you watch it, it's like they're in Bethlehem, PA, and like people are sitting on their hands, and there's hardly anybody there. But what they were doing was, I thought, was pretty fascinating, the way that they were laying out the story, because Matt, essentially, they do the big double turn with the Matt versus EC3 last man standing match.
I remember that.
Matt turns heel and essentially steals EC3's gimmick, and he's the rich kid now. and EC3 gets jumped, and he takes Tyrus from him, and like, you know, Tyrus starts carrying the baby to the ring, which is great.
I forgot about Tyrus doing that with the baby. No, this is actually really interesting, because this is it's crazy. Like I was about to say, like, look at the roster that TNA has at this point, or this Impact, I guess, at this point. Like, it's Drew McIntyre, it's LA Drake or LA Knight, it's
Bobby, you know, Lashley.
Like, there's Kurt Angle's still there, he's on his way out. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of really good wrestlers in this promotion at the time. And I remember watching this in 2016 going, man, Impact's kind of fun. Like, and this is, again, this is after they had gotten kicked out of Spike, after they had gotten kicked out of Destination America. So, I mean, you keep slipping lower and lower. And this, I think they're on pop for what, a year, maybe two?
So they're on pop from 2016 through the end of 2018. And then 2019 is when they went to the hunting channel, the pursuit channel. Yeah.
Dark days.
Yeah. It's weird to think that it gets darker from the early stages of pop, but it does get way worse.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah. Let's do that at some point, 'cause that's actually a fun time for the TNA.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. Let's get to the chat. The chat is blowing up, although I did request them to get to blow up. Legacy. I'm just going to read your comment, but we're going to discuss this, 'cause this is our number one topic. But he says, I don't see AJ and TNA 'cause they can't outbid TK. Hold that thought. Let's discuss it. I think that's an interesting chat, interesting conversation. XWF is in the house and he doesn't agree. Let's see. He says that it's the house that AJ built. Yeah, for sure. Royal Rumble, solid C for him. Okay. Yeah, I want everyone's Royal Rumble thoughts, because I'm not done watching it yet. So I was watching it tonight before the show, and my daughter's room has a leak in the ceiling, because this is a brand new house. It's like 5 years old. But because we had the big snowstorm, we had a leak. All right, so we got Mr. San Francisco. I was literally like right before we went on the air, I caught some of Rise of the 49ers on AMC. So far, greatest football documentary ever made, I think. I saw 10 minutes of it, so I think I could speak on it. So let's see. Heat is on, says I'm still going with Mr. Allen, not AJ Styles. There you go. Jonte Godzilla Brown, the voice of our soundtrack for the Mike and JD show, stopping in to say hi. He'll probably be listening to us on the treadmill tomorrow for sure. let's see. AWN415, he says, whatever happened to Wesley Richards? That's Davey Richards, right?
Davey Richards, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I think he got canceled. Yeah, he got canceled.
I forget what he did specifically to get
canceled. It was accusations of domestic abuse. He denied it, but then he said he's going away anyway. And like, he deleted all socials, and we've just not seen him again. So
it's been a few years, right?
Yeah, it's been. So last time we saw him, it was at he was working MLW, but he did an appearance for TNA, but he was like an MLW guy, and then all of a sudden he just dropped off the face of the earth. But Court Bauer was trying to like do a Davey Richards comeback, because Davey Richards was kind of, I think, getting into some trouble with some promoters around the country, and had kind of people lost interest in him, unfortunately, despite the fact that he's like super talented. And then the whole story broke and he hasn't been seen in a while.
One of Court Bauer's greatest talents is rehabbing troublesome wrestlers. So he's really good at it, legitimately.
He's really good at rehabbing wrestlers, but he's really good at finding wrestlers that no one's ever heard of and putting them in a position to succeed. And if you don't believe me, look at AEW's roster.
Look at WWE's roster, Jacob Fatu, like stuff like that. Yeah,
Jacob Fatu and WWE, and then you go to AEW, like Max and Swerve, like right, like those two guys. Like that's all you need to know about Court Bauer's ability and his eye for talent.
He's got a great eye. I give Court and I have gone back and forth over the years a lot. I give Court a ton of great praise for his eye for talent. He really, really can spot good people. Except for Krul. I don't know what he sees in that guy.
Mad JD
Kruger, yes.
I think Krul is out of MLW.
Yeah, but he was there forever.
Yeah. Well, no, he was just the champion. And then this past week on Thursday, they put up the belt in the Battle Riot. I don't know the results of the Battle Riot. All I know is that Krul gets attacked because Kushida went heel and joined Contra. They kicked Krul out of Contra and they beat the shit out of him. And now there's a new MLW World Heavyweight Champion and Krul gets stretchered out. So I think he's gone. And I am openly advocating for TNA to bring in Krul.
Why?
Because I saw him.
Why do you want to watch him?
Because I saw him like 6 months ago against Matthew Justice, and it was a good match.
Because Matthew Justice is like a really good worker as far as like a hardcore match guy goes. Yeah. Like Matthew Justice is probably one of the best like indie hardcore worker guys. Like I like Matthew Justice. He has talent. Yeah. He just likes to do stupid shit.
Yeah. Matthew Justice might be a guy that should probably think about bringing in, but
we've advocated that for years. Like, cause they brought in
Warner.
Warner, thank you, Mance Warner. They brought him in. He was him and the second gear crew guys. Didn't they bring in Manders for a hiccup too?
No, I think he worked like a taping once, but I think that's just because they were like in the home. They were in his hometown or something like that, and he was doing jobs. So. But they have not really given Manders a chance. I have seen Krul a couple of times because the last couple of times I've watched MLW, you don't need him to work like a long match. He can do fine, but just do some brawling stuff. I miss Abyss on TNA, and I've been watching 2016 TNA, and I'm like, I need Rosemary to be like Krul's manager and then have him come out and just beat up people. I just want to see it, JD.
I don't hate that, actually. I actually don't hate the idea of Rosemary. Okay. If you mean like a new version of Decay, okay.
Well, we don't need to call it Decay. Like, Rosemary can just be like the manager. Because she's been in TNA for 10 straight years. But, you know, that blown out her knee in Mexico, like, kind of, you know, did some damage to her. She's had some good matches here and there since then, but she hasn't. You know, I think it's time to, like, just let her be, like, some crazy bitch valet for, like, an evil demon, like, Krul.
Manager, not valet.
Yeah, manager,
like,
yeah.
Valet, like, it, like, decreases their value.
I think that's my inner, like sexism. I'm not trying to be. That's just the term I'm used to using as valet when it comes to manager.
She can cut a promo. So, I mean, like, can't hurt. Yeah. That's actually not a horror. If one were to sign Mads Krul Kruger, or Krul, whatever you want to call him. Jason Voorhees, essentially.
Yeah.
One would need someone to cut promos for them. So, like, I guess, that's.
Yeah. And then have him fight Mance Warner. Like, just, you know, I think that'd be fine. But I had another thought on, I'm looking forward to watching MLW coming up here soon, actually, because
I'm going to watch Battle Riot because Battle Riot is a great gimmick match.
Yeah. They had, you know, Anderson and Gallows are there, and they had Gallows was in the Battle Riot, but as Festus. so I'm like, I gotta see it now.
I just praised Court, and then I have to like come back.
You have to like.
Lord taketh away. I do like the Battle Riot concept, and I get Court. Yeah. I've always wondered why Filthy Tom doesn't get more of a crack from other promotions. To be quite honest with you, I think Filthy Tom is pretty good. But
yeah, me too.
You know, whatever. Yeah, I'll check out. Let's check out the Battle Riot this week. Actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it hasn't aired yet, so yeah, they taped it whenever it hits YouTube, and I think it just goes straight to YouTube. All right. Let's see. Ari Frantis, the Ring of Honor library is amazing. I got to go back and see Tommaso Ciampa. Yeah, we're gonna talk Ciampa tonight for sure. His matches in Ring of Honor. Do you think he might reunite with Prince Nana in AEW?
I do not. I think they might work that into a future match with Swerve, their history. But I mean, I think Swerve kind of gets what he wants. And for some reason, Swerve really likes having Nana around. Other than doing this, I don't really see what Nana brings to Swerve's act, but Swerve disagrees with me. So,
yeah, I like Nana as part of his act. I've always liked. Yeah, I think he's funny. And I'll be honest, I don't know much about Nana. My first exposure to Nana was on AEW, so I didn't watch him in Ring of Honor.
You know me, long term Ring of Honor guy. I like Prince Nana. Like the Embassy in Ring of Honor was a lot of fun. this whole Ciampa thing is kind of blowing my mind because I'm like,
yeah.
A couple weeks ago, we're gonna save
your thoughts for Ciampa. That is topic number two on the agenda. We're gonna get to Ciampa. I just want to get to some chats because the chat's blowing up. So Killer Cross won the Battle Riot, so thank you for that. Spoiler alert. And Dobby says Mike versus JD over Cruel was not what I was expecting to get into.
I'll see either.
a year ago, I agreed with JD, but I've seen him a couple times recently. I was like, this guy's actually not that bad anymore. If you just play to his strengths, if you got the guy out there trying to wrestle, he's not going to be good. But if you just have nothing brawling, like I've kind of like changed my thoughts on this. Like, not every guy on your roster has to be a really good wrestler. No. Some guys can just be big and just fuck some shit up and, you know, like 4 or 5 minutes they're in and out, and he just has a cool mask and he looks like a demon. It's like you can just have those guys every now and then.
I agree. I think that's something lost in pro wrestling is the monster. We don't have monster heels anymore. Jerry Lawler used to have him in Memphis all the time, right? Lord Humongous and whatnot. So, I mean, I think it's not hard. Like, you bring in the guy for a hiccup, right? He beats a bunch of people on the way up. He gets a title match, and then, like, Mike Santana can kill him, and then he can go do something else. Like, it's fine because, like, I think that's a good thing for TV, too. Like, a good old squash match on TV is worth its weight in gold, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and I'm really speaking from a position of I've been watching 2016 TNA, and I just remember how cool Abyss was. It's like the Abyss is way better than Cruel. Like, he's
don't lower Abyss.
They're similar. They got a similar vibe and look, and so I think I'm just missing Abyss. I think Abyss was great. All right. So speaking of Abyss and old school TNA, let's get into our top story. AJ Styles lost to Gunther at the Royal Rumble, and
Sue Williams said it on Twitter, and I agree, passed out like a man.
Yeah, John Cena, you coward. Yeah, like Ava, the general manager of NXT, gave up because she's a fan of John Cena, but AJ Styles, he always beat John Cena, so he's not giving up. He's a real man.
He is.
I don't know what his status is, so I've talked to like a few people, and then of course everybody has like a different report online, and I'm not gonna I don't have all the reports in front of me, but essentially you got three different schools of thought. Okay, if you're on the WWE side, you think AJ Styles is retired because that is the narrative coming out of WWE. Paul Levesque and Peter Rosenberg both said that they've talked to AJ, they believe he's retired. And then there's folks out there that strongly believe that AEW wants him really bad, and that there's a standing offer on the table, essentially a blank check, and that Tony Khan will do anything to get AJ Styles, and AJ Styles is mulling it over, but he's not completely sold yet. And then there's people out there that think the TNA is absolutely in play here. You and I talked about it last week, but it looks like that it could be a reality. The TNA could be in play. The TNA can't outbid Tony Khan, and Tony Khan can keep raising that dollar figure amount to where AJ Styles would be stupid not to take it, because as the legend Kim Wood, who recently passed away, says, the only thing that matters is money. That is it. So if you take less money to go somewhere, you are a mark. So, but you know, there's also TNA is kind of like AJ's baby. So, and he would want to be able to help it. But the thing is that the letters are the same. The company's completely different. So like, I'm at the point now where I don't think anybody knows anything, and I don't have a fucking clue where this guy ends up, but, there's a lot of possibilities.
So, for a long time, when people would ask AJ about his TNA run, he did not look back on it fondly.
Yeah,
like he had a lot of bad blood with Dixie. Like a lot of that stuff you saw that played out on screen in 2013, 2014 was pretty legit, right? Like AJ did not get an offer from WWE coming out of TNA because they just thought he was done. AJ rebuilt himself in New Japan Pro Wrestling. WWE doesn't take a flyer on AJ Styles unless he has that tremendous run in New Japan. AJ, like I know officially Prince Devitt was the real first leader of the Bullet Club. The leader of the Bullet Club when Bullet Club became Bullet Club was AJ Styles. The reason why, remember, let us never forget 10 years ago, 2016, that New Japan, that WWE raid on New Japan. They got AJ, Gallows, Anderson, and Shinsuke Nakamura. They essentially stripped Bullet Club away. And then Gato, who at the time could book really well, asserted Kenny Omega in that position, and then they kind of really didn't miss a beat. Yeah. Like, it was really, really amazing booking on his part. So yeah, for years, AJ would talk about TNA and he wasn't really, he was kind of like rub it off. You know? Yeah. AJ Gallows Anderson was supposed to debut on the first episode of Dynamite in October of 2019. WWE had re-signed them all to a nice hefty contract. So again, yeah. Kim would have been proud.
Right.
Here we are now. AJ is not what he once was, but he's as good once as he ever was, the old song goes.
He's still really good.
He sure is. Yeah. He sure is.
Yeah.
I love AJ Styles. He's one of my, I know it's not. I met AJ Styles. I worked for WWE one night in 2016, actually. We keep coming back.
Hold on. JD was a Fed employee. I just want everybody to put that out there.
I was a Fed independent contractor for a night. I was a driver. Yeah. My brother worked sound for the driving show, the
show is driving in cars with wrestlers getting coffee.
Yeah. That
I'm
thing,
just kidding.
That
thing. I don't know.
It's like, it's a fucking show. So we were hooking up GoPros and shit in a rental car, and I forgot to turn the volume down. So if you watch the AJ Styles and Gallows and Anderson one, there's a moment where the sound almost blows out of him. That's because my dumb ass forgot to turn that down. I never admitted that publicly till just now. So that night, I actually was wearing my Stanford wrestling t-shirt, and I ran into AJ in the lobby, and we had a long, like a good 10-minute talk about amateur wrestling. So yeah. I like AJ Styles. I love him as a worker. I want to see him wrestle. When we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I was under the assumption that AJ's this retirement with WWE is a storyline, and that they would just loan him to TNA.
And I think that's on the table.
Is the release real? Like, not release. Is his contract up with WWE? Because I don't trust anything that comes from them. So
that's the thing. I don't know, right? And so there is another school of thought here that the retirement from WWE is real, but he remains under a contract, and that they're going to let him work TNA.
Which would only thing that makes sense. Now that's what I thought. That was where my head was at until we heard from someone that I know and trust that. Said that AJ has a significant deal. JD Phillip, out of respect. Someone said, hey man, the check cleared the bank. Like Kim Wood said, money is the only thing that matters.
That's it. Yeah.
And this, I didn't hate WWE quite as much as 2016. What was I saying? We hear from someone that we trust that Tony Khan had a significant offer to AJ Styles and he was quote unquote mulling it over.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the name of the game is to make money. I think he goes to AEW.
I mean, that makes sense, right? But, you know, there's people that love AEW that I've talked to recently that want him to go to AEW that believe that his first stop is going to be TNA just because of his history in TNA. Because even though he had a bad taste in his mouth in 2014, you know, you look back on it with rose-colored glasses, and that really is where he came to prominence, and he spent, like, his youth in that company, even though, like, I'm like, dude, AJ, it's literally not the same company. Like, none of those people work there anymore. So, except for Ross Foreman. Like, Ross Foreman has really been the only guy that's still there.
Okay, so, I love AJ Styles, but he also wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. Yeah. Categorically, everyone says that. Same with Will Ospreay. We all love our dumb jock wrestlers. That wouldn't surprise me actually if AJ made a quick little stop over in TNA, did a match with Mike Santana. I mean, he could lose 150 matches on TNA television, show up in AEW, and people would lose their shit because it's AJ Styles. He's untouchable.
Yeah, well, and they know that it's all fake. He's not really losing those matches, also so true. It wouldn't really. So, and if he does go to TNA, I'm telling everybody right now, he's going to wrestle Frankie because that's his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
one of them. Him and
Christopher Daniels.
I just saw something. Oh, here we go. I'm pulling up from the chat. It says he's also his agent. AJ's agent is also agent of the Bucks, Omega, and Hangman. So what would be the connection there? That would be a Bullet Club.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bullet Club guys are all represented. So yeah. A good agent is supposed to work with everybody, get you a good deal.
Yeah.
Do with that what you will. Hope you're doing fine, sir.
Yeah.
You seem not to be. hope everything's okay. Guy, who you all know who I'm talking about. The crash out guy. Anyway, I don't know, man. I think as a fan of pro wrestling, I would love to see AJ and AEW, mainly because I just want to see him in Ospreay. I really do, yeah. Especially if they're going to go back. Especially if they're going back to Wembley Stadium this year, you need a marquee match. And I can't think of a bigger one that AEW could offer on that card outside of Ospreay and AJ Styles.
I think Kenny and AJ is the one that really piques my interest the most because of the Bullet Club tie-in.
You got a story.
Osprey would be great too, but I think if Wembley, I want Osprey to win the title finally. I think he needs it, so you do that. Here's what Mike Gilbert wants. I have a TNA podcast, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see AJ just be a straight up freelancer. He's like, you know what? I'm gonna work these couple matches here in TNA, and then we'll work some matches in New Japan. I'm gonna work some matches in AEW. I'm gonna hit all the stops, and I'm gonna work. I have 10 guys I want to work with, and that's what I'm gonna do. I think that would be cool.
I would like to be 6'3".
Yeah,
and with 7% body
right.
fat.
Yeah,
that's not this in this day and age. That is not reality.
No,
when that, we are still in a wrestling war, and then. I stay away from Twitter, which is a good move. I think everybody should try to stay away from Twitter as much as possible.
It's better for your health, I think.
It sure is.
I'm on there a lot, though.
I know. I moved to Reddit, which isn't better.
Yeah. But, oh, my gosh.
It's worse. Actually, I've done worse for myself. There's still a lot to this wrestling war. Like, I don't want to say the playing fields are getting leveled, but I just, like... Man, they built that slave labor stadium in Saudi Arabia, and there was a lot of empty seats from what I saw. So, you know, people aren't happy with Triple Paul, which I've been saying that for a long time.
Speaking of Triple Paul, I got a message here I'm going to relay
from
an anonymous source. Says,
do I know this guy? Do I know this source?
Yes. Okay. Triple H and the other idiot, that would be Peter Rosenberg from Hot 97. Being so adamant about AJ retiring is because they want to be able to portray him as lying to them if he jumps. So if he does go to AEW now, AJ's a liar. So they're trying to, that his opinion is that they're trying to bully him into not wrestling anywhere else but the WWE.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And I host a pro wrestling podcast. Like, and I hope to God AJ Styles doesn't fucking care because.
Hold on, I need to jump in. The comment that I just read from the person, that idea is not stupid, but the fact that it's probably true is pretty stupid.
Oh, right? You're 100% right. I'm not shitting on the source. I'm shitting on the idea.
And it was
the very idea of that.
It was the source's opinion, right? Like, or a prediction that was the case. Yeah.
But it's the reason why it's stupid is it's so fucking believable. Like, that's 100% how they would be. 100%. Especially Rosenberg, who's the most useful idiot in that company. Like, I don't know, man. I hope AJ has enough Bruiser Brody in him, and I think that he does, to go get paid.
Go right? Get paid, brother.
He should go be like, there's no reason he shouldn't have one more fucking Tokyo Dome match.
Yeah.
Right. Put, you know, give him against Yoda Tsuji. Give me that. That would be great. That would be fantastic. Like, there's so much I want to see from AJ Styles. And I do think I'd like to see a quick stop off in TNA. You know, he had that little bump in with Frankie and with Mike Santana. Like, that would be cool.
Yeah. Like, I think if he does. So there's a prevailing theory out there that he stops over in TNA and has those two matches. And then makes his way over to AEW and has a couple of big matches there and calls it good. So,
okay. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Count me in on that.
Yes.
Count me in. All right. Chat. Chat is blowing up. Let's see.
Let's do this.
Let's see. All right. Legacy says TNA can't afford them. Well,
that's true. I mean,
yeah. Unless WWE's kicking it on the back end, which I don't see why they would. I don't think they would.
I don't think they like TNA that much.
No. Heat is on, says shit. He might go to Noah and hang out with Gallows and Anderson. He's already wrestled Noah recently. He wrestled Mara Fuji. I don't see that being crazy. And he likes his friends.
He does like his friends.
Yeah. Let's see. XWS says could see AJ being a freelancer. Tony's not going to allow that to happen. If you're coming to AEW, Tony wants you like to be
unless you're Matt Cardona, then he was allowed to freelance there.
Yeah. But if he's getting AJ and he's going to spend a lot of money on AJ, he wants him to be in his company.
Big difference. That's a PR win, quite frankly.
Yes.
Like if AJ Styles shows up on Dynamite, that looks really good for the company.
Man, trading Chris Jericho for AJ Styles would be the greatest trade in AEW history and the shittiest one in WWE history for sure.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah. There's a bunch of people that'll tell you that it's not, but they're dumb.
Yeah. Online man says if AJ asked for $20 million, I'm sure TK would happily pay him that. I don't know that he'd go that high, but he'd go pretty freaking high for sure.
I think Tony Khan would pay for AJ Styles what he was worth. I think he could. I think he could get Punk money from Tony. Because that's like I said, that's a big win for him. If it AJ is. Would, because the narrative would be that AJ leaves WWE for AEW. That would be the narrative. Whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter.
That's certainly the headline on my YouTube video that I would clip for it for sure. Because those always do really well.
Yes, it would.
Yeah. Let's talk about leaving the WWE for AEW. Tommaso Ciampa made his debut on Dynamite earlier this week. Yeah, I didn't see that one coming. He comes out at the end of the Mark Briscoe match with El Clone and challenges Mark Briscoe for the TNT Championship. And then they have the match on Saturday Night Collision. And Tommaso Ciampa, in his first match, won the TNA title. I'm sorry, the AEW TNT. Championship. The TNT Championship. Yeah, on his first night. TNA was a Freudian slip because, boy, were AEW fans not happy. They were calling him Dixie Khan, saying this is very much a Dixie Carter thing to do, is to bring in a mid-level, middling, over-the-hill star from the WWE and have him beat one of your champions on the first night, which Rob Van Dam did do that, I think, at one point. So,
I mean,
so that is the narrative that's out there. I can't judge it because I didn't watch the match at Briscoe. I'm sure it was fine. I'm sure it was a good match. But what do you think of Tommaso Ciampa coming in and winning the TNT title right away?
We were back from practice. Andy and I were watching some clips on my phone before bed, and he has no clue who Tommaso Ciampa is because we don't watch NXT. So he looks, he goes, "Yeah, that guy looks 400 years old." Like, this is exact words. Yeah. Like, Ciampa came out there, and my kid was zero impressed with Tommaso Ciampa. And then I told him that he beat Mark Briscoe, and Andy's like, "That's bullshit. My kid never swears." And that's a nine-year-old. My nine-year-old looked at me and goes, "That's bullshit." And he just walked away. So, not thrilled. That being said, I do like I don't hate the idea of bringing a guy in and giving him, like, the TNT belt specifically. Because that belt should be kind of – it's essentially the NWA TV title. They have so many belts in that company. They can hot swap that thing, and like, it's kind of the nature of the title and always has been. So whatever, I don't hate that idea. And Ciampa, I really like Ciampa and like Ring of Honor. I even liked the DIY stuff. Like, I don't know, when he started, like, they started monologuing and shit like that, it just really lost me in NXT.
Well, and he was, I think Heated On brings it up here. He was, Not this one. He was cosplaying as Triple H at times on WWE television. In fact, him and like, they literally did it. Like, for Halloween show, they dressed up as DX and did the whole DX shtick.
Trying to keep a job.
Yeah.
It's one of the most pathetic displays I've ever seen in my entire life from two grown-ass men. It was fucking disgusting.
I was a big fan of the black and gold era of NXT.
Yeah, me too.
That was a long time ago. And Tony Khan.
2016.
But Tony Khan clearly loves that era too, because he signed a lot of guys from that era. And this is just, and this, like, this was, you know, Adam Cole was probably the face of that era. And then after Adam Cole left, it became Tommaso Ciampa. And then he was like the main guy of that era. And he was like carrying the banner for it. And I don't want to say that I hate the signing, because I don't, because I think, you know, Tommaso Ciampa is a good wrestler. I'm just like, man, you guys got like 400 wrestlers on a contract, and it screams like you're just signing people for the sake of signing them. I don't know. Like, I can't get mad at it, though, for sure.
My kid likes AEW.
Yeah.
XWS is JD's. I think JD's kid is not a diehard fan of wrestling. He likes AEW, and he'll watch some New Japan with me.
Yeah, so he more of a hardcore fan than most people, because most people just like, they just watch the WWE because that's like the coke.
Oh, yeah. He takes pride in being different. Like, he'll go to school and some of his friends will talk about WWE, and he'll put his nose in the air, like, "I watch AEW." And
he is his father's son. He is 100%. He is his father's son to a T, for
sure. You've seen my son. I've had people ask me if he's adopted or if he's not really my son, because he's got blonde hair and blue eyes. He's spitting image of my wife.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and thank he God. Opens his, yeah, thank God. Then he opens his mouth, and then they're like, oh.
Yeah,
very clearly. It's very clearly JD's kid.
This little shit's an Aleva for sure. Yeah,
fucking AC ever 100%. Yeah, you're a little fucking snob if I've ever seen one in my life.
Yeah, yeah, love it, for kid. Yeah, for sure. So the idea of him winning the title on the first night, I see it, a lot of people hate it, and I wish I could also hate it. I think I don't like it for AEW, but that was like the idea that I pitched for Ciampa, should he go to TNA, would be to come in and when Trey Miguel's going for the international title, he's supposed to be beating Stinks, chanting Stinks Lorenzo, that's his name, on the Brace for Impact show. And so they're doing the match, I think, in Nashville. And I was like, okay, Trey Miguel should win the title from Stinks. And then immediately after he wins the title, Tommaso Ciampa should attack him. And then they should set up a match where Ciampa wins the title right away, for sure. Like, that was my idea. And then, but they kind of did a variation of that in AEW. So
what you're saying is that Tony Khan somehow might have heard your idea.
Tony Khan has heard my ideas before, so maybe he heard that idea. JD, answer XWS question.
I will.
Andy's favorite wrestler.
I think, Mike, you know the answer to that question.
This is an easy answer. Yeah, it would be one Darby Allin for sure. Yes.
My son will lay his life down for Darby Allin. He was super stressed out when he was climbing Mount Everest last year. Really bothered him. Yeah, he loves Darby Allin.
Yeah, he does.
Small little blonde kid. Who else is he going to gravitate to?
Yeah. So here's my thing. I think that because there's a wrestling war, when you bring in a mid-level WWE star and your audience has been kind of conditioned to like not like WWE because there is like the war, I think that could be a miss. But I'm also of the school that if you sign a guy and like he's your guy and you're paying him a lot of money, you should probably just push the guy regardless of where he used to work, right? And if you think that he can make money for you, then you just do it that way. The problem is, I just don't know that Tommaso Ciampa is that guy. We'll find out. Like I said, the guy's a good wrestler. So,
in all honesty, those belts have no value. Like, other than the world title belt has some value. And the other title, the one that Okada lost, has value because it's on Okada. But like, dork. But if the rest of those titles really don't mean anything, and they're props for a TV. And I hate to sound like Vince Russo, but he's right. Yeah. Secondary titles are props for a TV show. So
yeah, for sure. Okay, Will Hobbs made his debut on Royal Rumble as Royce Keys. I don't want to get too caught up in the name because the name Royce Keys
means something to him. So I don't love the name, but he likes it. So
he likes it. Here's the thing: if that was his name, like for years, and then he came into it, we would like enjoy the name. The name is fine. It's a wholly inoffensive name. It's not Jake something, right? Mm-hmm. Like Royce Keys, like sounds like a real legit name. The problem is, they forced him to change it. That's why everybody's mad. So I'm like, if you don't understand why people are mad, because people will say, if you say, I'm not saying the name's stupid, it's a fine name. I'm saying the idea that he has to change his name is stupid. And like, Mike, that's just what WWE does. So like, they're not consistently doing that. Jordan Grace is still Jordan Grace. Mm-hmm. Ethan Page is still Ethan Page. Joe Hendry is still Joe Hendry. Sean Spears kept his name, even though he was like the 10 guy before.
He was Ty Dillinger there before, but they let him still be Sean Spears, which is weird.
So if you're saying, it's like, well, he picked the name. It's like, well, yeah, because they forced him to change it.
Penta and Phoenix kept their names.
Yes. Yes. So it's not.
Dragon Lee. That's a weird one.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not a consistently enforced thing. So they brought him there, and they thought so little of the name Will Hobbs. They said you're being forced to change it. I guarantee you, if he had the opportunity to say Will Hobbs, that would be his name right now, for sure.
I remember when Butch,
they told him to change it.
When Butch Reed died, they it came out that he was a big Hobbs fan. He actually asked if he would be a Hacksaw Hobbs. I thought that'd be kind of cool if they had done that. Anyway. I thought it was I saw people dogging us as they had Powerhouse Hobbs up on the Tron.
Yeah.
And then it like changed into Royce Keys. I mean, they've been doing that. They did that with Prince Devitt. When Finn Balor first came up, he was the Tron said Prince Devitt, and then it dissolved into Finn Balor.
That's a Triple H thing. So he did that with Asuka too. I remember he did that with Kenta. He brought Kenta out, and then Kenta announced his new name. That's just something that Triple H has been doing like consistently for a long time. Here's the thing. Debuting him in Saudi Arabia where AEW has no TV was probably a miss because like they didn't know who he was because they just don't have AEW there in that country. So all the NXT stars are over, but not Powerhouse Hobbs.
Because they don't know who he is. I'll be honest with you. I don't hate the idea of debuting in the Royal Rumble. I thought that was kind of cool. Like I guess I'm on an island as an AEW fan. No. If you're going to jump to AEW, if you're going to jump to WWE and they say we're going to debut in the Rumble, even if you don't do much, that's a big thing.
The match is fine. Well, debuting the Rumble is fine. Saudi Arabia was the problem. Like,
I agree.
Yeah, because it made him see like he's not like a big star because of the country that they were in.
Well, he's not a big star. He's a mid-carder for me.
Right, but if Royal Rumble was in Orlando,
If the Royal Rumble was anywhere, you're right. If the Royal Rumble was in Orlando or Chicago,
yes,
or anywhere, or goddamn San Francisco or Oakland,
yeah,
and they came out there, people would have lost their shit. You're 100% right. I agree.
Yeah,
I see ground to you, sir.
Right, but he looked. I thought he looked fine in the match. They're gonna probably bring him along slowly. I kind of wonder what his future holds. You know, I don't really know. But I think he's a good wrestler. So I hope that they do something well with him.
Me too. I don't know. I mean, like, I kind of feel like you got Obafemi there, who's gonna get this big monster push, right? Yeah. And they're both kind of similar builds. Like, they're both kind of similar
monsters, yeah.
Right. They're just two big ass monster guys. And I just feel like, and I'm not saying they're two black guys. I'm not saying that.
No.
I'm saying you brought in guys with similar builds, right? They're different characters completely. But you're not going to be able to give two guys like that a monster push at the same time. So, and then what I fear more about Hobbs is kind of injury prone.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like we said about Jake Something was injury prone. That's what derailed a lot of his TNA run, is he got hurt a lot. And he has one match in AEW and tears his bicep. So that's a legit fear of mine. I will worry about him getting hurt more than anything, and his legs being cut up before they even have a chance.
Yeah, for sure. Did you hear what happened to Rusev at the Royal Rumble?
I did hear what happened to Rusev at the Royal Rumble, and it's just like,
yeah.
I always go back to Vince being this whole like, maybe we'll give them some more. Mm-hmm. You know, just the talent thing. Like, that is a fucker who will never be happy anywhere. Yeah.
I'm going to read this. This Please, is from The Observer. And they got a quote from CJ Perry. So CJ Perry, that's his wife, Lana, the Ravishing Russian.
Are they married? I thought they were divorced. Did they get remarried?
They said that was an angle that they were trying to get on store. They never divorced. They came out and called that, said that was an angle. They just could never get it on TV. So I don't know what to believe anymore.
So was the shit with her and Damian Priest not real?
I don't know. I saw the pictures.
I think
what was real is that storyline with Bobby Lashley years ago, where I don't want to call him.
Where Rusev likes to sit in the chair.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I think maybe that's real. I don't know. Mm. None of my business. I'm not going there.
Continue.
Yeah. CJ Perry talked about Rusev and said that he loves being a villain and loves WWE storytelling. She said that he made more money in AEW. Fucking Mark.
Mark ass bitch.
Yeah, but he wanted to be on TV wrestling every week. Oh, okay. And it was hard in AEW because he wasn't wrestling. So why? Because he was turning down all the creative. Mm-hmm. So, and you know what? They had a million people and probably not enough slots, and that was tough. But so he ended up going to WWE. They had plans to make him a top heel and a PPV world title contender. The crowd didn't respond, so they changed the plans. Now, evidently, he's making less money and still not working much, except he's losing a whole lot more than if he was in AEW and only lost to the tippy top guys, but somehow that wasn't something he wanted to do. Man, he just stepped on his own dick. That guy.
What did the greatest thing Hulk Hogan ever did wasn't all the pay-per-views, wasn't, you know, refining the wrestling business, is that one tweet about working yourself into a shoot. Like, yeah. One of the greatest tweets of all time. And that's pretty much what our friend Rusev did. Cause like, he was over in AEW. Like, the first gimmick they had with the Mickey Mouse like Gucci shirt, that shit didn't work. But when he became the Redeemer
and had
the horn, that shit fucking ruled, and it was over, and people loved it. Like, people were all about. And that's the thing about Rusev, Miro, whatever you want to call him. That dude knows how to get himself over.
Yeah,
like, if given opportunity, he always gets over.
Dude,
the problem was, get to you.
I saw him at WrestleMania in Santa Clara, mm-hmm. and he came out on a tank, and I was like, this is the coolest fucking villain ever, and he's coming out to wrestling John Cena. Now, the match wasn't much, but it was fine, but it was great.
He's a good heel. Like,
yeah,
the problem with him is I think he thinks he should be like a tippy top heel instead of like an upper mid card heel.
I think what happened to him is the same thing that happened to Malakai Black and Andrade, is they went there thinking they're these WWE guys and they were going to be tippy top guys in AEW. They're going from a bigger company to a lesser company, but they're making more money. And I think the same thing Booker T thought when he went to TNA, right? Like, I'm going to be the man here. And then they get there and it's like, okay, hold on. There's other guys and I'm not the man. and they weren't willing to have that. They thought too highly of themselves because of where they used to work. And so they got rid of them. And now it turns out 4 or 5 years have passed them by and they go back to the WWE, and all the people that they thought they were better than are now above them, and they can't get past them, and they're not that important anymore. So like, I get the feeling that Rusev is going to be on one of those cut days coming up around Mania time. And I, you know, it sucks for him. He seems like a nice enough guy. And he's a really good talent.
Seems very good talent.
Just, you know, just the way it worked out. Like, he shot himself in the foot.
Well, like, here's the thing though, is he shot himself in the foot. And we got someone in the chat who's like, but look at Andrade. Andrade is a guy with the exact same career path. Like, he's also a guy who cannot be happy, who is getting a second chance. Boy, is he in amazing shape. Yep. And Tony Khan gave him a win against Swerve.
Yeah.
Right? He gave him a win against one of his top stars.
I didn't see that coming, honestly.
Me neither.
That shocked me. Yeah.
But what does that do? That immediately tells you, that immediately tells the talent, hey man, you were unhappy last time. I want to show you we have water under the bridge. I'm going to give you a fresh start. I'm going to tell everybody you're a top talent.
Yeah. Right.
Because that's what he did. He established, they tried that with Cody thing right away the first time around. Then he just kind of got lost a little bit. A lot of it's his fault because Andrade is kind of an asshole. This stuff happens to him everywhere. But now they're giving him a chance because he is undeniable talent in the ring. Again, he can get himself over. They're giving him a chance this time. Because this, and I think Andrade realizes, this is my last chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whereas Rusev, I don't know if Rusev gets a crack if he gets released again.
Rusev's not Andrade, you know. He's like an old school heel. I like Rusev, but I'd like to see him get a shot, but I just don't think it's going to work out.
So we got someone stupid in the chat. Is Meltzer not happy for anyone that left AEW to WWE? LOL. Who's LOLing? Like, he just, Dave writes an article about a guy who turned down more money supposedly for a bigger opportunity, and now he's not getting that opportunity. Well, he's slotted lower than he was in the previous company and is making less money. So Rally, I don't understand.
Rally boy. Yeah. That was not an opinion piece. They were reading quotes from CJ Perry, Rusev's wife.
No, we have to blame Dave for everything because Bruce Pritchard tells us we have to blame Dave, and my brain is smooth. Idiot like this.
Idiot.
Why are you so stupid? Like, imagine if you've never read anything that Dave Meltzer ever wrote in your life, and you just write these opinions because you believe Bruce freaking Pritchard and Eric Bischoff. Like, imagine being such a guy who you see Eric Bischoff and you think, man, that guy knows what he's talking about. He's driven 6 companies out of business and filed for bankruptcy. An amazing person.
Bischoff was a tour guide today on a tour of some wrestling fans that paid top tier dollar to see where WCW used to be. I just saw that picture.
Hey, this is where I used to. What's up, Jim? I'm almost done with Gaijin. 10 out of 10. Good. Get to the end, man. I always love.
Yeah.
I have an ending that I'm very, very proud of. So I want to hear your thought of when you get to the end of that book. It's a lot of fun.
Let's see. I read Shibata had his brain removed. That's an all-time Dave.
That is an all-time Dave remark. That is why you can't. That is why. Say what you want about Dave. He will write some stupid shit from time.
He is no argument. He is not infallible. Mike Gilbert's and Eric Bischoff can. No, I'm not.
Damn, that's from the. Oh, that's from the King.
That's low. That's below the belt. There. That's below the belt. You know who follows me now is Raj Giri just randomly started following me. I was like, dude. I was straight up abusive of that guy. I had a whole gimmick where I was like screenshotting all his deleted drunk tweets and posting them. Now all of a sudden he follows me. I'm just like,
oh, that's wild. You get some interesting. I got to get back active on Twitter. Yeah. You get interesting Twitter engagements sometimes, man.
I do. Yeah. Like random rich people in my DMs, like in the middle of the night.
Your DMs, not my DMs. I would, if these walls could talk.
Yeah, but I want to say, Raleigh boy, I love you. I love you, buddy. Thanks for being here. You stick around. Don't listen to JD. You stick around.
I'm not.
But Dave Meltzer is not out to get anybody. He's just reporting what's happening. So like it's not that serious.
And it wouldn't even involve Dave. He said Josh Nason transcribed a CJ Perry interview.
So Dave said Billy Gunn sucks, man. Dave said Billy Gunn wasn't top 200 wrestler in the world, and people act like Dave shot a child. Yeah, I know.
When was Billy Gunn over?
He was Outlaws over.
He was part of the act.
His friend had the catchphrase.
Yes.
But let's not. But he was part of the act, so I'm not going to take it away from him.
What happened when they spun him off? What happened when he won the King of the Ring in 1999? How did that go?
The one Billy Gunn got his face shoved in a fat woman's ass. That's what happened. He stinks.
And then they had to make him a closeted gay guy because they couldn't think of anything else to do with him. I don't want anyone to tell me anything about Billy Gunn being better than Kyle Fletcher ever. You didn't pay it. I lived through this shit, man. Well, they couldn't find anything before. They had Billy Gunn being the fucking honky tonk man's protege.
Yeah,
and then he got over because he got stuck in the tag team with Brian with Brian James, who was really good on the microphone at the time.
Yeah. Like Billy Gunn had a long career because he's got really good friends. He's huge, looks great. He's athletic as shit. But the guy just could never go. So he got shit canned in WWE and he went to TNA for a while. He flopped there and then he just kept getting brought back on reunion tours for DX. Right. So like I got nothing against Billy Gunn. He seems to be a good agent in AEW, but he squashed Jay White. That sucked. But, you know, I got nothing against the guy, but let's just be honest, like about what the guy brought to the table. He was a second tier act in a tag team that was around for a couple of years, was super over. And to this day, you bring the New Age Outlaws back in WWF. They're going to get like some heat, but guess what happens on night two? Not a goddamn thing. Like that's it. Like they were not as over as the Hardys. They were not as over as the Dudleys. They were not as over as the Usos, the New Day, anybody like that. Heart Foundation, Demolition, Road Warriors, nothing like that. They were a catchphrase and a good catchphrase. But you couldn't trust the guy to wrestle for more than a couple of minutes. Right. But he had a lot of friends and still does to this day. And everybody likes the guy. He seems to be a genuinely good person. And I think his kids are a good tag team. I like those kids. I think they're a good tag team.
I don't want to shit. And all old wrestlers will tell you kids that they can't get over. They've been saying that for 70 years. Fine. Yes. Whatever. That's just how it's supposed to be. Where I do lose this people is Eric fucking Bischoff trying to act like Billy Gunn was over. You know who? Okay. You know how you know Eric Bischoff doesn't believe it? Eric Bischoff never signed Billy Gunn.
Yeah. Yeah. And he could have.
Anytime he wanted to. No one gave a fuck about Billy Gunn until 1998.
No, Billy Gunn got the DX slot because he got the Road Dogg thing got over. And you know who was his riding partner in 1998? Steve Austin. Austin. Yeah, they were really close friends, right?
He's a nice guy.
Everybody likes him. Hey, and they did the Smoking Guns thing. That didn't work. He did the Rockabilly thing. That didn't work. New Age Outlaws. That did work, right? Chuck and Billy. Short shelf life, had a great moment with Eric Bischoff on that thing where he had the mask.
It was the end of that tag team.
Yeah. And so they did the storyline and three minute warning kills it. And then they never team up again. And then he goes to TNA and they do the Voodoo Kin Mafia. Total flop. One of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. He comes out in blackface trying to make fun of the Dudleys, like a whole thing. Like it just didn't work. But all right, we spent way too much time talking about Billy fucking Gunn. Like no one ever talks about him. Okay, let's end the show on this. We got a lot of TNA fans in the chat. Steve Macklin. Okay, so
how do you feel about this, Mike?
Okay,
I thought about you right away when I read this.
Let me just recap what happened. So for weeks I'd been saying that Steve Macklin was not gonna stick around TNA. I just got the vibe. They just felt like it. People in his orbit kind of signaling, not an outright saying, but signaling to me that he was probably gone, right? And so they do the Feast or Fired match. He gets a briefcase. And then on Thursday night, he gets the Fired briefcase. And I went on these airwaves on Brace for Impact, and I was like, he's gone. By the time I get off Brace for Impact, and then I start scrolling through Twitter, it was very clear that it was a work and that he's staying. And then Sean Ross Sapp on his show saying that he believes that Steve Macklin has already signed an extension, or if he didn't, he's got one in hand. He's ready to go. He's sticking around. Good. So this whole thing's a storyline. So
great.
So he's sticking around. I don't know what the storyline is, but maybe they're going to do something with Steve finally. And they need to do something with him because he's really good.
Yeah. Yes, they is. Yes. That makes me really, really happy to hear that because AEW is over bloated, and I don't think WWE pick him up, and I think he has a lot more value to TNA with this new TV deal. I think he's a good worker. I think he's an underrated promo guy, and I think that he needs an opportunity to get something. So I'm very happy to hear that he's not actually leaving the company.
I mean I guess he could end up leaving, you know, but I don't even see him like getting to free agency, I think that he's going to be staying with the TNA for sure. That's my official prediction. Although, like on Thursday night, like while I'm on the air, I'm like in mourning. I just lost my guy. But I was like in a way happy for him because I was like, he's going to go to AEW and he's probably not going to do too much TV, but he's going to be set up. You know, like him and Deonna can buy like a nice house together if he goes to AEW.
And I would be happy for that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But at the same time, like I think it's better right now. I think it's better for him to stay in TNA and like quote unquote finish a story a bit. Like I think there's just more with him there. I really do. Yeah. I'm very happy he's not leaving TNA.
Yeah. If he went to AEW, I was advocating a tag team with him and Josh, and they could go after the tag titles against FTR because I just think that match would fucking rule.
It would be a lot of fun, actually.
And they just lost Jake Doyle, and so now Mark Davis doesn't have a tag team, and they were trying to push them up to the FTR, and I was like, well, just throw Steve in there. Steve and Josh versus FTR. Now, that's money to me. I think that rules.
I was really looking forward to that Doyle and Davis tag team. I think they'd have been a lot of fun, and that just – man, it's talk about being born under a bad sign. Like Jake, something gets hurt sometimes, man. It sucks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's carrying a lot of muscle mass, man. So your muscles tear easy when you're bloated like that. And he's a huge jacked up dude and he's an athletic guy. And I just hope things work out for him. Let's see. Steve Macklin and AJ Styles debuting on Dynamite. Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Possible. It's definitely possible.
Raleigh boy, who JD yelled at, said TNA roster immediately posted farewell tweets. Hint, hint. Yeah. And then there were other, like, the heels.
They would do that anyway, though. Like, if he did leave, they would still do that.
Yeah, but then the heels were, like, good riddance, you know?
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's
and, like, Eric Young is, like, talking shit about it. So I'm like, okay, yeah. Okay, they're probably going to... You know, they're going to probably do something with Eric and then, but Steve Mack can probably get elevated above that.
They kind of fucked that up then. They could have actually, if they had gotten everybody on board and the heels actually were like sad about it because social media is stupid, like people would have bought the release a little or the firing a little bit more, which is, you know, I don't know.
Well, they sold me. I came on this podcast bitching about it. So I think that was what they were trying to do. But I think, you know, they've lost so many wrestlers lately that maybe they wanted to like just put out there. Hold on, guys.
Really,
you know,
that's a really good point. I didn't think about it like that.
Because Tony Khan legit signed 5 wrestlers in a week, but he gave one back. But he did sign
one back. Yeah. Here you go. I can't have this one.
Say, hold on. This guy said some shit about gays. Well, you can have him back, but we're gonna keep the other. We're gonna keep the other 4. So. But it doesn't look like Steve's going. So, Josh Alexander's really found his mojo lately. He sure has. Like you saw the Omega match, right? Like you saw that one. Yeah, that was good. And then he cut a really, I didn't see Collision last night, but I did see his promo that Alexander cut. And he was like, he's a good heel.
He's a great pro wrestler. I just don't think people like give him enough. I think that a lot of AEW people have not given enough of a chance. Again, you and I, when he had his run, is the peak of our Brace for Impact podcast. So we saw all that stuff. I love Josh Alexander.
Yeah.
I want more Josh Alexander.
Your article, he personally loved The Heart of a Weapon.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. I remember like him publicly talking about it, and then And then Jade Chung also talked about it. And Josh happens to like enjoy some of our coverage from the past.
He and I chatted
recently and he was like, I always tell me, I was like, I always enjoyed like what you did, you know, when I was there. I was like, oh, thank you, man. I appreciate you. It's like, would have been nice if you told me that when you were still in the company, but hey, but I appreciate it now.
I haven't written anything about wrestling in a long time, so I like hearing that. I forget sometimes that I was wrestling, right?
JD, you know we have a website, right? Like where you could do stuff like that.
Like, you know, I'm like, what's underneath my headline right now, man? I'm busy.
Yeah, you got a lot of jobs. Yeah, you're a busy guy. But speaking of busy, I gotta get to sleep.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I'm not actually going into the office tomorrow because we're all snowed in, but and my kids not going to school, but I'm just tired. We went out sledding today and I was shoveling snow for 2 hours so clearing the driveway so we can get down to the sledding hill. It was a tough day, man.
I bet that. Hey, I've said something kind of stupid earlier in the show. I probably shouldn't have said, my bad. I got a little fired up and I used some vocabulary that I would have used as a young man. And I apologize, not for the sentiment, but for the actual wording. So my bad. Yeah. I got to work to be better.
And I can confirm that Raleigh Boy and Ayo Video, a Patreon subscriber, is a great guy. So he's a big TNA fan. So,
oh, I know. I was just having, I get
JD Gibson.
I get into it sometimes and I hate when people. I hate the narrative of Dave LOL. Like, Dave Meltzer's done a lot of professional wrestling, and like, especially people like us don't really exist without Dave Meltzer carving the space, right? Dave is not a perfect human being, but at least get mad at him for something that he does. Like, you got to pick on Dave, pick on him for saying they removed Shibata's brain. That's a real thing. Don't get mad because something is on the website that he had nothing to do with. Like a transcription of a fucking interview. That's just dumb shit.
If you're going to come at us shitting on Dave, like, that's fine. But you have a good point and do it for a good reason. Like, Shibata having his brain removed. Or, like, look, 2 weeks ago, Dave reported some attendance numbers for TNA that were not true. Like, legitimately not true. They were so off that I actually reached out to Dave and I gave him the data. I was like, here, look, I'm not going to, make a big deal out of this, but Dave, I just want you to know. Of course, Dave didn't respond and he corrected it. But Zahir, I just want you to know that the numbers you have were significantly lower than what was really posted by WrestleTix.
And that's the thing with Dave is just like Dave is a reporter, so he reports on what he is given. And like the big criticism you could say of Dave Meltzer's coverage over the years is when he doesn't reprint retractions a lot, or when he does correct stuff, he doesn't cite sources on where he gets stuff from. So that is a flaw with Meltzer's reporting that one could argue is legit. And that's, you'd have a great point there. There was some TNA stuff earlier. There was some Japanese stuff. I think it was Dragon Gate last year that really got people fired up. So, I mean, that's all good. I mean, like, and again, no man is absolved from criticism, right?
Yep.
I had my brain removed earlier in this podcast and had to put it back in. So like, it's a thing that everyone's criticism is up for everybody. I just want people to attack people for what they actually do.
Yeah. So like, Stephen Patrick has a good comment. He says, use the words dumbass instead. I think dumbass is a good one.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. Yeah, dipshit is one of my favorites.
I love dipshit. That's a really good one.
It's one of the face. Fuckface is a good one. One of the kids in the restroom used that word the other day, and I reprimanded him, and it probably got stuck in the back of my head, and it came out of my mouth. Because Mike and I sure grew up in a time where people said a lot more things a lot more callously that we would not say today.
I was sledding down the hills with my kids today, my cousin's kids, and like all the neighborhood kids, and I'm like talking to my cousin that I grew up with, like we're like bros, like old school style bros, where we say stupid crap, just like mean stuff to each other to pop each other. And like we started to do that, and we kind of like we're like, we gotta scale this back, because like it is not 1999, dude. Like we cannot call each other those names, you know what I mean?
There's a lot of stuff that guys like us called each other back in the day. Like you would freely use those words, and it was always terms of endearment. Like it was never like you meant to like legitimately hurt anybody, but now you look back and you're like, oh, that was kind of shitty, maybe we should be better. So again, like, I gotta be better, my fault.
JD will be better, and we'll choose better words next time. But dumbass. Dumbass, dipshit.
Fuck face.
Dipshit's always a good one, man.
I do like dipshit. I use that one a lot. I should just stick with that one.
So JD from New York blocked me. That's a good thing, I think.
Or if you blocked me, I should look that up, actually.
Because I said there is some slow adult from New York spreading an MJF conspiracy theory. And he must have seen it because I am now blocked. So, but I think calling somebody a slow adult is actually more degrading than the R word.
It is. You're right. I think that's slow.
Yeah. I'm just finding new ways to insult people. Yeah.
I love that you find ways to piss people off and block them. I used to be that guy. I need to get back there again.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, for sure. All right, guys. That's going to do it for us this week on the Mike and JD Show. Head to patreon.com/themikeandjdshow. We're going to be talking some serial killer stuff, lots of TNA stuff, whatever else we can talk about, we're going to get into this week exclusively on the Patreon. But until next time, mahalo.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-made, no rain. From the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-made, no rain.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.